The scripture is 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 13, and I'll be reading from Peterson's The Message. God looks into the heart. God addressed Samuel, "So how long are you going to mope over Saul? You know, I've rejected him as king over Israel. Fill your flask with anointing oil and get going. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've spotted the very king I want among his sons." "I can't do that," said Samuel. "Saul will hear about it and kill me." God said, "Take a heifer with you and announce, 'I've come to lead you in worship of God with this heifer as a sacrifice.' Make sure Jesse gets invited. I'll let you know what to do next. I'll point out the one that you are to anoint." Samuel did what God told him. When he arrived in Bethlehem, the town fathers greeted him, but apprehensively. "Is there something wrong?" "Nothing's wrong. I've come to sacrifice this heifer and lead you in the worship of God. Prepare yourselves, be consecrated, and join me in worship." He made sure Jesse and his sons were also consecrated and called to worship. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, "Here he is, God's anointed." But God told Samuel, "Looks aren't everything. Don't be impressed with his looks and stature. I've already eliminated him. God judges persons differently than humans do. Men and women look at the face, but God looks at the heart." Jesse then called Abinadab and presented him to Samuel. Samuel said, "This man isn't God's choice either." Next, Jesse presented Shammah. Samuel said, "No, this man isn't it either." Jesse presented his seven sons to Samuel, and Samuel was blunt with Jesse. "God hasn't chosen any of these." Then he asked Jesse, "Is this it? Are there no more sons?" "Well, yes, there is a runt." No comment. "But he's out there tending the sheep." Samuel ordered Jesse, "Go get him. We're not moving from this spot until he's here." Jesse sent for him. He was brought in, the very picture of health, bright-eyed and good-looking. God said, "Up on your feet, anoint him. This is the one." Samuel took his flask of oil and anointed him, with his brothers standing around watching. The Spirit of God entered David like a rush of wind, God vitally empowering him for the rest of his life. Samuel left and went home to Ramah. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Outstanding. In fact, there's not a whole lot that I can add to that. But I'll try. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this day that you've given us, and we give you the praise. Thank you for how you're at work. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us through grace and love. It's in the name of our Savior that we pray it all. Amen. A bookstore customer was expressing her obvious annoyance to one of the store clerks. And this bookstore customer had actually just come from worship at Gila Mountain United Methodist. No. "Every time I come in here to buy a bestseller, you are sold out," she scolded. "Why can't you people learn to stock yourselves more efficiently?" And what is the title of the book that you wish to purchase, madam?" "How to Remain Young and Beautiful." "I will put an order in and mark it urgent." "I'll wait." It's amazing to me how often we find ourselves as Christians in opportunities to witness and we miss the opportunity. How often we find ourselves in situations where we can point to the fact that God is the one who is looking at our heart. And if he's looking at the heart of someone, then that
means that he wants to work in the heart of someone, and that means that he wants to work out of the heart of someone. Not through their hair, through their eyes, anything that is due to appearance, but rather from the inside out. We have a God who is a God of power indeed, and has done magnificent things. We look around in creation, and we look around in nature, and it continues to come front and center, right before us, that God does beautiful things and creates beautiful things. And I think that's probably why we're challenged when God uses something that's not beautiful to communicate the good news. Now, are we called to be beautiful channels of God's grace? Are we called to be those channels? Yes. But does that mean we have to look beautiful on the outside? No. And I'm saying that very clearly to you. This is not a beauty contest. This is not American Idol. This is not any other contest by any other name. This is called discipleship. And discipleship is based on what God is doing and what God wants to do, not our agenda. I can't say it any more clearly. I really can't. But I'm going to try to add a few other things to emphasize that point this morning. This is a familiar story from 1 Samuel. We understand that Saul was the sitting king. Okay? Saul had not been removed. And yet, God knew that Saul was no longer thinking about God first in his actions, in his words. Saul had started becoming somewhat erratic, and sin will do that. Whenever you just want to do what feels good, when you only want to be about, what makes yourself happy, rather than giving God the glory, things like that take place. You start getting a whole agenda, a whole list of things that you want to get done, and then eventually it's not about God at all. That's what happened with Saul. God knew that. And he sent Samuel out to go ahead and look for a leader with God's heart. Look for a leader who would follow God. Samuel continues, goes to the man that he's directed to, and the first person, the first son of Jesse, comes forward, and, you know, he's Captain America. What can I say? I mean, he is sharp. You know, he's got the looks. He looks like the complete package. I mean, if you were recruiting this guy for a basketball team, he would be a five-star blue chipper. I mean, he would be number one at the Nike camps. I mean, this guy is just top-notch. And Jesse thinks, well, here he is. Boy, that was easy. Samuel goes, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I've sometimes pondered that scene. If somebody said to you that one of your children wasn't good enough, yeah, ponder that. No, I don't think so. Not the one that God wants. See, there's a difference. This is about God's discernment at work here. It's not about saying that someone was not a child of God. It's just this was not the person that God was choosing to be the leader. Two different things there, isn't it? I mean, we are all children of God, whether we recognize it or not. But we are not all discerned to be in every single leadership position that's put before us. That's important as well. That's important for the church today. Whenever I approach somebody about a leadership position, while I may think, boy, this would be a great person. This is the person I really hope can do it. what I inevitably say is, pray about it. And I mean it. I don't want anybody to think, whenever I come to ask them about a position of leadership in the church, that they all of a sudden hear the train coming down the tracks towards them. And that this is inevitable. And this is what has to happen because the pastor says it. I want that person to pray about it. And it comes from this story. It's about God's working in our lives, not about a personal agenda. Okay? Do you understand that? This is very clear. We've really progressed this far in Lent. It's the fourth Sunday in Lent. And we need to continue to keep focused on emptying of ourselves and becoming more Christ-centered, becoming more Christ-like and focused on God in our lives. We really do. We need to take the rest of Lent. If we've been kind of distracted up until this point, we need to use the rest of Lent to be able to do that. Samuel was doing that his entire life. The rest of the story is that the other sons start coming, don't they? Nope, none of these. Jesse didn't even think about David. He was out there knee-deep in, well, in the pasture, let's say. You see, like I said before, sometimes God works in very mundane situations, in common situations, in situations we never expect Him to. It's not in the holy place of church. It's not when everything's going well. It's when we're knee-deep in life. And they summon David, and he just comes as he is. And physically, I mean, we understand that David was handsome, but he was kind of a mess whenever he came before this holy man, Samuel. And yet Samuel saw behind all of that because he was completely following God and had humbled himself to completely follow God and nothing else. And so when Samuel saw David, he knew that was the man of God. That was the person that God wanted to use. Neil Postman of New York University thinks that the greatest problem with the television may not be all the violence and mayhem therein, as bad as this is. He's studying this. Dr. Postman feels that it may be the fact that the screen seduces us into believing that seeing is knowing. Television is primarily a visual medium. It invites you to believe that what you see is reality and what truly counts is important. It invites us to look and assume that we are learning something. It invites us to believe that if the man or woman is handsome, beautiful, likable, magnetic of appearance, he or she is safe to follow. So therefore, no surprise here, political candidates are packaged and sold by image. I know that's a shock. But what if the most important things we can know about a person cannot be visualized and cannot be seen, like this, his thought or his or her thought and values, or his or her character and substance? What if the way a person looks tells you almost nothing about who they really are? What if the most important realities in life are not visual at all, but spiritual, are known through thought and word rather than image and picture? This is what's happening here. Image is not everything, as a familiar commercial said years ago. Image is not what is essential in the kingdom of God. Substance is. Who you are is defined by God. Do you realize that? Are you living that? Are you sharing that? That, my friends, is a word of hope. Now, for those who base their life on image, or an image that they portray, that's going to be challenging because your world is going to turn upside down. God is going to be the one who shows you who you really are. And this is the amazing thing, that he loves you nonetheless. God is going to show you who you really are and that he loves you nonetheless. David being chosen here is more than a story about appearances. It is most of all a story about being willing to follow God's leading and God's leading alone. Can we get distracted? Of course. You know, after Samuel traveled all that way, and after he was probably tired, thirsty, hungry, he was welcome nonetheless. Maybe he first saw that oldest son, and that would have been the position of honor for that first son and that family. Yeah, okay, here's the one. Maybe he would have been tempted to say, "Oh man, this guy is so good, Lord. Are you sure? Are you sure?" No. Okay. All right. Keep going. Next. This is more than a story that gives encouragement to everybody who was ever picked last for dodgeball or any other sport. This is more. It's deeper than that. It's really about being, first and foremost, beginning and end, someone whose life is lived and spoken as one defined only by God. Isn't that wonderful? What we say, what we do, I'm defined by God. I am a friend of God. It's a Christian contemporary song that sings that verse. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. He calls each of us friends. But are we living in a way that shares that? You know, today, we come to the table once again of communion. And believe it or not, it's connected to this story. I'd ask those who are going to be serving communion to come forward right now. The reason why it is connected is this. Those who gathered with Jesus at that table, certainly they were friends, but there was a lot more going on there as well. There was an awful lot more going on there. He was saying to them, "You're defined by God. Now, you are going to have important work to do." Were they surprised like David? I'm sure they were. This was a meal. We were getting together with our rabbi, with one that we loved, and now he's saying something about there's going to be more to do beyond this table, beyond this holy space. There's going to be more for each and every one of us here this morning to do beyond this table. Because after you receive this communion, you're called to go out as disciples, as those who bear witness to the resurrection, as those who speak of God's love, and as those who remind others that God doesn't define us by what's on the outside. He looks at the inside. This, therefore, is something that is more than just bread. Jesus said that at that table. He said, "This is more than bread to fill your stomachs. This is my body. It's broken for you. It is offered for you. You may not think much of yourself, but God loves you more than you can imagine. And God is going to be calling you to be his witnesses and representatives in the world. So that when you take this, you become connected to something much bigger, much bigger. The body of Christ broken for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God." And after that, he poured out the cup and continued to offer some amazing words, saying, "This is not just something to quench your thirst. This is something to remind you of salvation. They couldn't understand that completely because the cross hadn't happened yet. But still, in this offering, Jesus is saying to each and every one of his people, each and every one of us here this morning, that you have been saved. There has been an atoning sacrifice made for your sins so that you can go forward now freely, not burdened by past failures, not burdened by sins, but offering all of those to God and knowing that you're forgiven. This is more than simply juice. This is the blood of Christ shed for us as an atoning sacrifice to give us new life, and new life as God's people. Given for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. The table has been prepared, has been prayed over, blessed, consecrated. But God is the one who continues to be at work. It's not really about anything that I say. It's not about any of my words. It's about what God is doing through this sacrifice, through this representation of love. When you take this today, I want you to think of one thing. I am defined by God, not by the world. Lord, how do you want to use me for your kingdom? Can you remember that? I am defined by God, not by the world. Lord, how do you want to use me for your kingdom?